Hello, welcome to a new edition of Rai Argentina to the World in English. We are the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio, broadcasting from Buenos Aires via WRMI on the frequency of 5800 kHz of the shortwaves and also streaming via rai.com.ar. I am Fernando Farias, and this week we are bringing you content from our archives, a very interesting interview we conducted back in 2010 in the context of the International Book Fair of Buenos Aires, together with my former co-host Miriam Turcula, with a rock journalist, a very prestigious rock journalist, giving an introduction to foreigners about Argentine rock, the beginnings of Argentine rock. There it goes.
Argentine roads. Well, this brings us to the main subject of today's program. We have a special program about Argentine rock explained to foreigners, and we are very pleased to introduce a guest who's joining us today, Alfredo Rosso, a renowned rock journalist who worked in a number of FM stations and AM stations here in Buenos Aires, also in publications of various sorts, and even worked for a time at the BBC, a documentary in 2004. Don't Touch That Dial, is that correct?
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, thank you very much for accepting the invitation, Alfredo.
I'm very pleased to be here and to be speaking about Argentinian rock.
Okay, and we are very pleased to have you here. Tell us something. I mean, when we speak or when we go abroad and speak about Argentina, we market the country from the point of view of tango, or Maradona, mm-hmm. or whatever. Can we say that rock is as important as those items and say Argentina must be known for its rock?
I think so. Yeah, definitely. Rock music in Argentina has been going strong for more than 40 years now. And the important thing is, you know, a couple of years ago, people were thinking, when did it begin? And it actually began in 1966 with some youngsters that got together at a tourist resort called Villa Gesell. Mm-hmm. And they got together to play for their meals, actually. And they started a group called the Beatniks with singer-songwriter Morris. No?
Am I too old if I say that I do remember them?
No, it's all right. He's been around for a while. And his lieutenant, Pajarito Saguri. And they got together as the Beatniks, as I said. And obviously, they began playing covers, Beatles covers. But then they started to, you know, develop their own repertoire. And the first song that they composed was called Rebelde, which means the rebel. And I always say that, in my opinion, that is the actual beginning of Argentinian rock, because the lyric of that song goes something like, people call me a rebel, for rebel is my heart. I am free, but they want to make me a slave to a tradition. So the very idea of getting away from tradition, of being something different from what their parents have been, to be able to pick up a career, a different career from the one that your father had. In those days, it was such a break with custom. Because people, you know, you usually dress as your father has dressed.
Sure.
You have the same political ideas. Yeah. You resemble your father in a minute yeah. size, yes. if you wish. So this song was very important. And at that time, to be labeled as a rebel was something very, very serious.
People would be proud of that.
Right.
It was
right.
cool.
Yeah,
to
yeah
be
it
a rebel.
Was cool to be a rebel. But on the other hand, for society, to be a rebel, because they called you a rebel when you diverted from the law.
But this can be put in connection with what was going on in other important capitals around the world.
Yes, of course. When Argentinian rock first started, there were, you know, big things happening in the world. You know, in California, youngsters were fighting against the Vietnam War, were rallying against the Vietnam War. A couple of years afterwards, you had the, you know,
French May.
The students out in Paris, in the streets of Paris. So there was an international feeling amongst youngsters that something else was happening, that they were able to do something about their lives, to leave their mark on society. And this is very important, because Argentinian rock was not just foreign rock sung in Spanish. It has its own ideology, and
oh, really?
It has its own thrust from the very beginning. And it would be interesting if we could play at least a bit of Rebelde by the Beatniks,
sure,
for people to know what it sounded like in the very beginning.
Okay, let's go. Love this song, but I mean, this is not the
No, this is a bit naive, you know. Well, it says that this world is upside down. By being a rebel, maybe we can change it.
Yeah, but isn't it the la balsa, like the first step in Argentine rock? I mean,
it is in a way, because what happens is that the rebel didn't sell anything, so the group was dropped from the record label. But next year, in 1967. By June, around June, Los Gatos, a group coming from Rosario, from the second city in Argentina, came to Buenos Aires, and they were under a contract with RCA. Nowadays it's Sony BMG. And they recorded The Raft, La Balsa. And all of a sudden, it was a crossover hit. What I mean is that it sold 200,000 copies.
Which is a lot.
Which is a lot for Argentina in those days. It was incredible. And so people who up to then had said, come on, beat music in Spanish, you must be crazy, they were forced to think twice. And the important thing about La Balsa, The Raft, is that the lyric goes, I am very lonely and sad in this forsaken world. I have an idea to go to my dearest place, but there is something lacking, because I can't go by walking. I will build a raft, and I will go under. I will be shipwrecked. And I was 12, 13 years old at the time, and it defied the logic, because you build a raft to float, not to go under. But then I realized that what it meant is that the country was grey at the time. We were under a
67.
We were under a military rule
of General Longanía.
That's right, very messianic. And so what the song said is, we want a colorful world. We want a colorful sea. We don't mind if we go under this sea of color, this sea of different than the outside world, the world of our elders. So this is very important, because Los Gatos, with The Raft, La Balsa, set up an example that was followed by many, many youngsters in the following months and years.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of it. and classics.
But I believe this still sells.
It does. And I remember in that summer, everybody sang, I have to get my hands on a lot of wood. In order to build up the raft.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the guy who's singing, Lito Nevia, who is still going strong 40 years on as one of the most important representatives of Argentinian rock, was part, as well as Morris, as well as other people, of the generation of La Cueva, which literally means the cave. That was a hole in the wall, a jazz club, which changed, mutated into a rock club. And all these youngsters that shared a common fate, if you wish, a common ideology, they would get out of the club at 3 o'clock in the morning, and instead of going home to sleep, they would keep on going.
Wandering the streets.
Yeah, wandering along the streets until they got to the bar La Perla, which is in the neighborhood of Once in Buenos Aires. Why La Perla? Because the bar stayed open all night long. So you had people studying psychology there, students that were preparing for their exams. You had, door-to-door salesmen that were waiting for the first train in the morning to go west and sell their wares. And there was an inner ring with all these musicians. Would-be musicians.
Yeah, absolutely.
People that were part of Los Gatos, former members of Los Beatniks, and also people from Manal and other groups that were formed there. And tradition says that La Balsa, the raft, was composed in the bathroom of that particular club.
There's a legend about that.
Yes, because the bathroom had wonderful acoustics. Everybody sings in the shower.
Yeah, that's so right.
Wonderful
sounds
acoustics.
Better.
And the waiters were not able to hear what they were playing, so they would not be expelled.
So the staff there at La Perla didn't want these guys to be playing music.
Of course not, because they would, they would have a cup of coffee and nothing else for the whole night and stay there.
A cup of coffee for five,
maybe. For five, yes, with little straws.
So La Perla was for the rock people, what Corrientes was for the tango. Was.
Yes, that's well, definitely true, yes. And there is a plaque there nowadays ascertaining that fact. So finally, after being persecuted by the police for so many years for having long hair and colorful clothes, they were given a sort of the keys to the city after 2-3 decades.
Well.
But anyway, you have to realize that there were many musicians that were very talented at the time, and one of them was Javier Martinez, who was the drummer, the singer, the main composer, and the leader of Manal, a trio that played, they had a blues bass, but they also mixed with tango and with milonga, because Javier's father was Uruguayan by birth.
Yeah.
So he had a lot of rhythm in his head and jazz music as well. But another important factor about Javier is that he composed lyrics that had a lot to do with Buenos Aires, with the essence of Buenos Aires and the essence of the people of Buenos Aires. And at the time, there was a middle class in Argentina that was going strong, was gaining more and more power in a way. And you have advertisement on TV and on the radio speaking about executives and how to be, in the known, and how to, to buy
things. To be
things,
a winner.
Yeah, to buy things that would give you prestige. And so he wrote a song telling you how to, how to go forward in life. And the song is called Tomato Juice, Jugo de Tomate. And the lyrics go something like this. The land that gives you life gives you also a time to decide, and by choosing wisely, everybody can be happy. But you must have cold tomato juice in your veins. If you want to be somebody important so that people will talk about you all day, or if you want to become immortal as a hero, assassin, or demigod, you must have cold tomato juice in your veins.
What a great piece.
Que te da la vida, da un tiempo para decidir, eligiendo inteligentemente, todo el mundo podrá ser feliz. Jugo de tomate frío, jugo de tomate frío, en las venas en las venas deberás tener. Si quieres ser un terrible vago, dada, todo el día pasa arriba y a dormir. O elegiste ser un tipo capo.
The all-time hit of Manal, Jugo de Tomate Frío.
That's right, and they recorded an album from the first independent label, record label in Argentina, that devoted itself 100% for rock music. That was called Mandioca, which is a typical South American fruit. And Manal's album was one of the first in that label. But then, another person who recorded for Mandioca was Morris, the former founder of Los Beatniks, now as a solo artist. He recorded an album called 30 Minutes of Life, 30 Minutos de Vida. And you had a song there that typified what was happening at the time. There was a country where you have the military speaking about a future of greatness and trying to, you know, to sugarcoat the pill for people who were having a tough time. And this song, called Only Yesterday, Ayer No Más, Morris sings a lyric by poet and journalist Pipo Lernud that speaks about the other side of things. And the lyric goes like this. Only yesterday they taught me in school that this country is big and has freedom. Today I woke up and saw my bed and my room, and this month I didn't have much to eat. Only yesterday my relatives told me that you must have money to be happy. Today I woke up, I saw my bed and my room. Everything is grey and without sense. People live without believing. And this is very important. There was a huge censorship at the time, a censorship that affected movies, film, books, and also music. So when Los Gatos recorded this song as the B-side of the raft of La Balsa, they had to change the lyrics, sort of, modify the subject, and it became a love song. But this was a protest song at first.
Ayer nomás, en el colegio me enseñaron que este país es grande y tiene libertad. Hoy desperté y vi mi cama y vi mi cuarto. En este mes no tuve mucho que comer. Ayer nomás mis familiares me decían que hay que tener dinero para ser feliz. Hoy desperté y vi mi cama y vi mi cuarto. Ya todo es gris y sin sentido. La gente vive sin creer. Ayer nomás vi una chica en mi cuarto. Y la besé sin fundamento. Hoy ya la chica ya no está. Ayer no más.
Ayer no más, a song by Morris. Mauricio Miravent.
Only yesterday.
Yeah. Well, it's important to notice that the first rockers in Argentina, they were sort of being frowned upon, not only by the police and by the figures of authority, but also by their own parents or by the, you know, parent figures. So at first, the main enemy was, I mean, the police, the non-understanding of teachers or whatever. But then there were some poets that went beyond that and created a different kind of poetry for the songs. One of them is obviously Luis Alberto Spinetta with Almendra. He created a sort of magic realism in the realm of music. Also, the music of Almendra was very sophisticated, mixing rock music with jazz and also with tango in some ways. The same did Arco Iris, led by Gustavo Santaolalla, the twice winner
of the Oscar.
satisfechos al haber comprado sus derechos. Bronca cuando se hacen moralistas y entran a correr a los artistas. Bronca cuando a plena luz del día sacan a pasear su hipocresía.
Well, this actually is la marcha, the march of wrath.
Yeah, wrath or rage or whatever you want. This is Pedro y Pablo, which is a duo, also from the early 70s. And it was very interesting because they sang songs for Buenos Aires, speaking about the routine of the employees that goes to the office every day, work from 9 to 5, and forget about the sun, and they forget about what they want to be in life, because they have to, you know, to clock in and clock out and to follow this fixed set of
rules
or duties day after day. But this song was a protest against the government of Onganía at the time, and it goes, rage when they laugh satisfied after they have bought their rights, rage when they play the moralist and start persecuting the artists, rage when in plain daylight they parade their hypocrisy, rage, real rage, my rage. Rage that you can sing about. For those who take away what is ours with the glove they use to conceal. For the one who pulls the string of the universal puppet. Rage because they kill with impunity, but nothing ever becomes clear.
So far, I was listening to you, I mean, throughout the program, and and all the lyrics that you were that you read to us had to do with getting rid of those ties, getting rid, mm-hmm. Obtain freedom, no matter how. I mean, being a rebel or being different or getting rid of your mm-hmm. name or getting rid of customs or tradition or whatever. So is that a characteristic of Argentine rock or rock in general?
I would say this is a characteristic of the first era of Argentinian rock that goes, roughly speaking, from 66 to 70. Then you had a different approach in a way because the lyrics become more encompassing. They become more universal. They begin to speak about other things. And also the music becomes more sophisticated because after the first bunch of groups split up. Almendra, for example, it splits up and all the members form new groups. Like Luis Alberto Spinetta forms Pescado Rabioso, which means rabbit fish. Edelmiro Molinari, the guitar player, forms Color Humano, and the other two form Aquelarre. So you had three groups, and at the time, universally, virtuosism on the instruments becomes more important. So you have that the song becomes longer. You had 5-6 minute songs with lots of improvisation in the middle. So Argentinian rock becomes progressive in the early part of the 70s. This is very important as well. But also, there is another tendency that goes towards acoustic music. In the beginning of the 70s, there was another tendency towards acoustic music. There was a big concert called El Acusticazo, where all the participants played acoustic music in guitar and, you know, acoustic and percussion as well.
El Acusticazo would be the big acoustic show.
Yeah.
In slang Spanish.
That's true. That happened in early 72 in Buenos Aires. And the same year saw the emergence of Sui Generis, a duo that was composed of Charlie Garcia, who was a main composer and sometimes singer as well, and Nito Mestre, who was the lead singer of the duo. And the important thing about Sui Generis is that they addressed a new generation of Argentinians, mainly teenagers.
I mean, which year are we with Sui Generis?
Pardon?
Which year are we?
1972.
It's 5 years.
They released their first album called Vida, Life. And if you listen to the songs, they address teenager customs and things that happens to youngsters of the time. You know, first love, the experience at school, the everyday routine, the relationship, the generation gap and everything. And as they go on, as they begin playing nationwide. No, they begin to travel through the country. The music of Suggeri becomes more sophisticated. And on the following year, in 73, they release Confesiones de Invierno, Winter's Confessions. And you will see that the music gets more complex. Charlie Garcia begins to develop his ability on keyboards that was always there, but I mean he begins to integrate acoustic piano and electric organ and the Moog synthesizer, and the music becomes electric and the lyrics become much more complex. And there is one song in particular which is very important because I think it's the essence of the generation gap we were speaking about. It's called apprenticeship, aprendizaje, and it says, I learned to be formal and polite by having a haircut once a month. And if formality flunked me, it must be because I never liked society. And afterwards it says, and I had a lot of teachers to learn from, but they only knew their science and their duty. Nobody ever dared speak the truth. They were so foolishly afraid.
Formal y corté, cortándome el pelo una vez por mes. Y si me aplazó la formalidad, es que nunca me gustó la sociedad. Viento del sur o lluvia de abril, quiero saber dónde debo ir. No quiero estar sin poder ser, aprendiendo las lecciones para ser. Y tuve muchos maestros de que aprender, solo conocían su ciencia y el deber. Nadie se animó a decir una verdad. Siempre el miedo fue tonto.
And we're coming to the end of this 2010 interview that we are bringing back from our archives, conducted in 2010 in the context of the International Book Fair of Buenos Aires, in which Radio Nacional and RAE had a mobile studio. Rock journalist Alfredo Rosso came to that mobile studio and gave us this wonderful interview to Miriam Turcula, my former co-host, and myself, about the beginnings of Argentine rock and roll.
Y el tiempo traerá alguna mujer, una casa pobre, años de aprender. ¿Cómo compartir un tiempo de paz? Nuestro hijo traerá todo lo demás.
Parada. This way we come to the end of this week's edition of RAI Argentina to the World in English. I'm Fernando Farias. Thank you for listening. Take care and see you next week.